Gopal Champu, Chapter 7, Infant Pastimes. As on previous days after the dawn and the glorious assembly, Madhukanta said, O Snigdhakanta, absorb your mind in other pastimes. After 1 year, the birthday of Krishna in Bhadra month, endowed with all wealth, arrived. Taking shelter of the instructions of Garga, the worship on his birthday was completed. Nanda conducted an astonishing festival with the best chanting. The birthday was celebrated by Nanda with Vedic chanting, songs, the best dancing, Abhishek with mantras, gifts given in charity, sounds of joy, mantras chanted by persons knowledgeable of sacrifice, performance of six acts using sesame, touching objects with earth, aguru rice, and durva, and releasing a fish. As Krishna's age increased, the festival increased, since there was no difference between him and the festival. All the food and clothes that Krishna received were given away in his name in Braj. When 1 year passed with joy, one day when various old men and women were engaged in work, Yashoda was caring for Krishna outside in the yard. She placed her face on Krishna's and kissed him. She spoke to him, laughed, and made him laugh. Then Yashoda became moist with showers of happiness. Thwarted by Krishna's killing Putana and Shakatasura, Kamsa sent Trinavarta, who was extremely opposed to the devatas. Situated in the sky from far off, he saw the child and considered. The dark complexioned child is on his mother's lap in the yard of the huge house, making everyone tremble. I will bring the mother with the child into the sky. Putana took a different form, and Shakata became invisible in the cart to cheat him. I will take a form different from both of those, the form of the wind, and enter into Braj. Yogamaya, looking for opportunities for pastimes, entered into Krishna's body and manifested her power in order to separate Krishna from his mother. By her power, Yashoda could not bear carrying Krishna's weight, even though he was still as tender as a blue lotus. Astonished, she suddenly placed him on the earth thinking, no one else can bear this weight. She began to meditate on the antaryami of the universe. Being afraid, she was anxious to worship the Lord in order to avoid any disaster. Trinavarta, taking the form of a whirlwind, took the child as if putting a noose around his neck and attacked Braj with a shower of hard stones, almost destroying it. All of Braj's moving and non-moving entities became frightened. When the whirlwind arrived, intense darkness covered not only every object, but also the hearts of all the people. When the evil demon began afflicting the people, in fear they began to speak to each other. When the wind began to blow, it raised pieces of broken pots and made a noise like thunder. It broke the trees, shortening their lives, and smashed the houses and cowsheds. Ah, misfortune! What is happening here? The tender boy with the hue of a blue lotus petal is here. At Nanda's house at this time of danger, Yashoda did not see Krishna at the place where she had put him down. Having more affection for her child than a cow has for its calf, she lost her sense of judgment and became like the earth, losing consciousness. When the wind died down, Yashoda could not see her son. She became agitated like a cow which, on losing its new calf, is unaware of what people speak. Starting with Yashoda, all people on all sides began to cry. The whole of Gokula became filled with the sound of wailing. Unaware of the disaster around them, they came running and all drowned in an ocean of grief. When Trinavarta stole Krishna, Yashoda's body became a burden and all other bodies became similar. It seemed their bodies would be destroyed. All the women were weeping. Yashoda thought, Oh, Rohini, since you are preventing me from dying, what shall I do? not seen my child, shall I not die? How can I show my face to the king of Braj? If one thinks of Yashoda's death-like state, as she lamented, one's ghee-like heart would melt. How can this scene be described? What more can be said? Madhukanta, worrying that all would lose self-control, immediately began speaking. When Krishna, who gives happiness, was taken in the sky, his relatives, who were plunged into an intolerable ocean of grief, approached the favorable shore very quickly. Clutching the neck of the demon like a frightened child, Krishna began afflicting the demon. He became like the snake noose of Varuna around his neck. As he tightened his grip on the demon's neck, his weight became heavier. The demon could no longer carry Krishna, nor could he give him up. He could not stop Krishna at all. Krishna, whose garland should not be removed, took the burden of weight from the demon and the demon's life as well. As a man who thinks a snake is a garland is captured by the snake, and as a man who thinks a bear is a blanket is captured by the bear, Krishna surrounded the demon by his feet, hands, and other limbs. How could the whirlwind demon give him up? When the demon's throat became choked, his breath and life air stopped. Did his breath and life air leave? Did he die? The demon's body fell from the sky with a deafening roar into the yard spread with stones. Though his body had been very strong, all his joints became loose. What is this? Where did it fall from? Surrounding the corpse, they began to speak. Then on the chest of the demon, they saw Krishna, whom they were all seeking. They saw the demon with his eyes popping out, and the child on his chest looking around and making the place auspicious. Quickly they took him up and gave him to his mother. The women revived Yashoda using words as if they were mantras. They said, "O Yashoda, affectionate to your son, death, the demon, has died. He who was taken by death is alive. Please take him." Using these words as the mantra and Krishna as the medicine, they brought Yashoda back to life. As the Indragopa insect gains life from water in the spring season, Yashoda gained life on attaining her child taken by the demon. Nanda and others with him quickly came to the place in amazement and fear. They did not think of going to their houses, since they were all concerned about Krishna. Not seeing Krishna and seeing the demon, they had come to that place to see Krishna, since they were controlled by love of Krishna. Nanda, the child's protector, touched Krishna with his trembling hand and looked at him with tearful eyes. He then took him from the lap of his mother. They feared he had been injured by the demon. The women inspected his body, and Nanda also looked with extreme possessiveness as if he were their very selves. Thus, each one wanted to inspect him personally. Some who were interested in everyone's welfare and had become disturbed came and spoke to each other in front of Nanda. "What is the strong, flesh-eating demon who has been killed? What is this boy who has escaped his mouth? The sinner is destroyed by his sin, and the sinless person is saved from fear by his good qualities. Thus it is proper that we have had good fortune. Though he was taken by the demon, he came back on his own to please his relatives. What austerities, unlimited prema, or charities we must have accomplished in past lives to satisfy the Lord. Oh, coward! Nanda has great bhakti which gives all benefits. What else except that bhakti can we consider for the child's welfare? If a person's intelligence is always eager for pure devotion to the Lord approaches him and his wealth increases." The devatas discussed Krishna's intentions. "I am a child. I do not know good from bad. I hold on to the neck of anyone who takes me in his lap. If you happen to die, that is not my fault. Please tell me." The elder heroes among the cowards gave advice. "Gokula has become the residence of demons. You must hide the two boys within the house." The women, with Krishna's mother filled with anxiety for some days, protected the child, engaging him in play with many toys. Many infant boys, girls, and women came with compassion and saw the joyful play. Laughing, they would show Krishna the toys and make him play with Balaram. In this way, they protected the two boys within the house. Sometimes he would show strength and sometimes he would stand gently. showing a high or low nature, he would make the women laugh. In front of the mothers, he would throw up his arms and run around, showing his strength while laughing. When he fell down, he would cry. They would order him to bring things in order to see his strength and his intelligence. Sometimes showing his strength and sometimes not, he would look at them and smile. This would make them laugh. When told to bring a particular object, he would agree and bring the object. In this way, he gave his mother great happiness. When he cried, demanding the moon, which was reflected in the churning pot, elder women satisfied him by giving him a lump of butter. When someone would steal a few pennies from him as a joke, he would cry, as if some jewels had been stolen. But he would laugh when he stole jewels from others. O son of Nanda with attractive childhood, O brother of Balaram, we'll perform the artik for you. Dance, dance. When the women said this, he replied with, ti ti, ti ti ti. And keeping the beat with his hands, he would dance. O elders, you make me dance. Saying this, he would come before them. Being most gracious, you dance nicely. Hearing this, he would dance. When they would laugh because of his skill or his stumbling, out of shyness while dancing, he would run to his mother's lap. After giving up dancing, he would drink milk. Seeing this, Balaram, in an angry mood, desiring attention, would also drink milk from his mother. When the two boys became tired from playing, the two mothers and aunts would gently put them to sleep. When they were kept inside and desired to go out to play, Yogamaya arranged for favorable circumstances for going out by making them grow bigger and stronger. One day, Mother Yashoda, having taken Krishna up and placed him on her lap, was feeding him milk from her breast with maternal affection. The milk was flowing from her breast and the child was drinking it. O King Parikshit, when the child Krishna was almost finished drinking his mother's milk and Mother Yashoda was touching him and looking at his beautiful, brilliantly smiling face, the baby yawned and Mother Yashoda saw in his mouth the whole universe. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 7th Chapter, Texts 34-5. When he saw his wife full of astonishment, Nanda inquired from her, I have ordered that the children be confined out of fear of danger. Has that been carried out? She said, It has been done, but it is useless. Nanda said, Oh, why is that? She said, They have been forbidden from wandering about Braj. When the child smilingly yawned, I saw the universe in his mouth. Nanda, seeing the strangeness of the situation, became silent, thinking of the child as Narayana. After some time, he spoke, If this is so, this is the desire of Narayana, who protects his devotees. He has produced all these worries. All this is his arrangement. After this, according to Nanda's words, restrictions were lifted for the boys. One day, Krishna, offering respects to Yashoda, went to play with Balaram, Shriram, Sudam, and Vasudam. When Krishna, whose feet are marked with the chakra, ate dirt, Balaram and others, who were engaged by Yashoda to prevent dangerous play, told Yashoda what he had done. Coming secretly, she grabbed his hand and asked, O fickle boy, did you do this bad act? Bowing his lotus face, he spoke with despair to his mother. Oh, mother, I didn't do anything. His mother said, You ate some dirt. Her son said, Who said that? His mother said, All your friends have said this. Her son said, They all stole sweets from their houses and showing them to each other shamelessly with greed, ate them. I did not want to eat stolen food. so they have tried to silence me by force and trickery. Thinking that I would tell you, they have told you a lie because of their insignificant quarrel with me." Astonished, his mother, nodding her head, said with a smile, "O king of pretenders, your older brother has spoken. What do you say?" Her son said, "They are together speaking lies." The mother said, "O liar, O son, why would Baladev speak words without proof?" The son said, "He is on their side. Another day he also ate dirt. Since I was going to inform you of this, he has been speaking lies to make my words false." Holding his mouth and smiling, she said, "Do you always eat dirt?" The son said, "As I said before, they forcibly put something in my throat." His mother said, "Rascal, how can I know that?" The son said, "You can look in my mouth now." The mother said with a smile and anger, "Please show me." With fear, he quickly opened his mouth, which had traces of dirt in it. Understanding Krishna's fear and in order to solve his problem and pacify his mother's anger with display of a different ras, Yogamaya entered within and caused her to see the universe. Yashoda then began to reflect, "I see the world outside, but I see it in his mouth. In the world there is the earth, and it is Mathura. Within Mathura is Gokula, and within Gokula is Braj. I am within Gokula holding this child. How can this be? How has this happened?" Thinking it was a complicated dream, she then verified the situation. "I am Yashoda. Nanda is my husband. This is my son, and this is Gokula. I have seen the universe within the mouth of this child by the Maya of the Lord. He should make my intelligence steady." Understanding that thinking of her son as Narayana was not appropriate, she then became filled with affection as a mother while showing astonishment for her son, who was known by affection when he appears as an avatar. All the scriptures glorify this affection. Neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the deliverer from this material world, such mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 9th Chapter, Text 20. Hear another amusing story. Krishna, who gives bliss to all, heard the attractive words, "Please purchase these fruits." Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 11th Chapter, Text 10. Restless-eyed Krishna, not finding anything to give, in his small hands took a handful of grains which had fallen on the ground and quickly went to the fruit seller. But in moving quickly, the grains fell from his small hands without his knowing. He went to exchange his empty hands for the basket of fruit. The fruit seller smiled and was overcome by the sweet expression on his smiling face, making him hold his eager hands out. The woman from whom he begged fruit filled his hands with fruit. Enchanted by his sweetness, she did not consider whether her basket was full or empty. When Krishna entered his house, not seeing that her basket made of leaves was full of jewels, and not noticing the load, she became absorbed in Krishna's beauty. She went home to get more fruit for his family members. When she got home and realized she had jewels in her basket in separation from the attractive face of Krishna, the fortunate woman began to consider that she had been deprived of the greatest treasure of his beauty, since in seeing him, she had forgotten the whole world. Knowing that he had brought happiness after great difficulties to the woman, he began dancing as if holding a great treasure in his hands. He approached his mother and, showing sweet, fickle actions, enthusiastically bound all the fruit in the edge of his mother's cloth. His mother said, "Where did you get these fruits?" The son said in half words like a child, "An old fortunate woman collected some fruits and, taking the price in grains, gave me these fruits." His mother said, "Oh child, do not trust all people like people of this house." The son said, "I do not know about mistrust." Seeing the fruit seller return after some time, Krishna again went to her and then had his mother distribute the fruits to others at every opportunity. His mother blissfully distributed the fruit with her trembling hands, but could never exhaust the fruit. For several days she remained smiling and astonished. Those who tasted the fruit became surprised by the sweetness and could not forget it. Madhukanta then thought again in order to describe other pastimes. It is the custom that when the cows and cowherds go to the forest in the day, the women do cleaning in relation to the cows, and the children and calves play by themselves. One time, when there was no milk in the house, Krishna brought his friends from everywhere into the calves' pen to get milk and close the doors of the calves' pen. Pretending to be cowherds, they took the goats as cows and the young goats as calves and pretended to milk the goats. When the goats acted as cows and the boys acted as cowherds, their talking caused by loud laughter became the milk. When Krishna, in consultation with Balaram, desired to imitate herding the cows, he freed all the new calves. Krishna and Balaram, desiring to protect the calves, grabbed their tails. The calves pulled them around the yard along with the other boys. Hearing that Krishna and Balaram were coming, following the calves and then seeing them, the best of women began describing them in broken words. Krishna and Balaram are playing in a strong, sporting mood in this place with their friends while laughing. They hold the tails of the calves and are skillful at making affectionate quarrels. Their eyes are happy to see each house. The two hold sticks in their hands like the elder cowherds. When the calves run fast, they follow at the same speed. The two have long braids which move about. One is white like the autumn cloud, and the other is dark like the monsoon cloud. The two flash rays of lightning with their darting eyes. Their scattered hair covers their faces. Two lotuses with bees fade in comparison. One wears fine blue cloth and the other wears fine golden cloth. Ankle bells jingle on their feet. In each of the yards the women would say, "I will go ahead," and follow the boys. They understood that those two boys could immediately produce joy just by their sight and could enchant everyone. They would see the two with their tall and short friends discussing, arguing, and contradicting each other. Talking in this way, they praised the two boys on the pretext of describing their friends. Some women made the two boys drink sweet juice whose every sip defeated nectar. One woman gave a beautiful jeweled necklace the life of her house and made them use it attractively. One woman began to serve the two boys with a composition of attractive words filled with prema. The women said that they were attracted to seeing all the calves with their ears pointed up, but began laughing like persons being praised. Their hair became undone, and their minds became unsteady. Saying that they would tell their mothers about their clever behavior, the women then left that place. Not considering their mothers and fathers, they began scolding the two boys with affectionate quarrels, using deceit. In this pleasurable way, Krishna and Balaram both played during their infant years. The two mothers, their eyes filled with anxiety, began to go to various solitary places in Braj on their own, saying, "Where are these two boys?" Nurses who cursed the boys in anger, though they worshipped them with bliss, went out with the boys' aunts who talked about the boys in order to search for them. The two mothers went with other women, talking as they went, making a joyous commotion. The two must have gone this way. They followed their footprints while the two boys fled. They went secretly waving their forefingers so that no one would know that they were approaching. Secretly looking at the two boys from their hiding place, they suddenly grabbed the arms of the two boys. But all the boys fled in different directions. Among the women, some who were favorable and some who were opposed to the boys' naughty behavior went with the two mothers. The nurses, for whom the boys had great affection, came, bringing the calves. Coming to different houses and roads, the brother of Balaram would engage in frivolous actions with his friends. Yashoda desired to see his boldness, but some women, desiring to see her bliss increase, began criticizing his actions as if quarreling while giving her respect. In this way, they criticized and resolved their issues. Yashoda appeared in the gathering. She sat on a golden throne, and the other women sat on rows of seats while displaying their wealth of love. Tasting Krishna's joyful topics filled with the nectar of prema, Yashoda satisfied them, and they satisfied her. She was a glorious flagpole with her shining limbs in that assembly with the women. They exchanged words as follows. Gopi, your son does bad things. Yashoda, oh, foul-mouthed woman, what did my son do? Gopi, he goes around and lets all the calves loose. Yashoda, he is helping you. Gopi, he does this at the wrong time. This causes problems. Yashoda, why would anyone do something without cause? Gopi, oh Yashoda, he does it without cause. Yashoda, angry woman, do you not use harsh language? Gopi, when I revile him, your son simply laughs. Yashoda, if you have nothing else in the house, just give him some water and you can control him. Gopi, he goes from house to house stealing and then eats the stolen goods with relish. Yashoda, ignorant woman, is it proper to give such evidence? Gopi, your son is the guru for all methods of stealing. Yashoda, liar, everything you say is impossible. Gopi, if we place the food high, he climbs up. Yashoda, you can keep milk and other things high up so we cannot get them. Gopi, from far away he pokes holes in the milk pots. Yashoda, how does he know the pots have milk in them? Gopi, he is expert at guessing. Yashoda, he is not like that. Gopi, he knows how to do everything in stealth. Yashoda, ah, you can hide everything in secret places. Gopi, because his body acts as a lamp, it is impossible to hide anything in dark places. Yashoda, your body is covered in kumkum, so you show yourself to him easily. Gopi, your son with the effulgence from his jewels does not know darkness. Yashoda, what child is without ornaments? Gopi, he feeds food to the monkeys with force. Yashoda, but monkeys can eat only a little butter. What are you thinking? Gopi, if the monkeys cannot eat, he breaks the pots and says everything is contaminated by the monkeys. Then he makes the babies cry. Yashoda, I will ask the head women. Gopi, he makes other boys urinate in the houses. Yashoda, no, that is some spilled powder mixed with oil. Gopi, in front of you, he remains obedient. Yashoda, your words are most astonishing. Because Yashoda did not believe, they again repeated everything. This is not surprising for the following reason. All the sense devatas reside hidden within the senses in Goloka. Among them, the mind is stolen by Krishna. If that is so, what else can he not steal? The complaints of the women caused his eyes to dart about and change the color of his lotus face. Seeing this, Yashoda laughed, and the other women followed him with laughter as if cursing him. Even if we cannot correct, in your own house, at least he should act correctly. Smiling, Yashoda said, that is good. I will take your good wishes to heart. Considering that he would always come to their houses since Yashoda had a soft nature, they continued to act in this way. Madhukanta then concluded, O King of Braj, the nature of your son is extraordinary. He defeats Trinavarta and is yet afraid of his mother. As on the previous day, putting Nanda in front, taking the pastimes as if they were happening that day into their hearts, everyone returned to their houses.